Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
It's going to be fun for sure. You know, I'm excited about it. League has grown. I think it's better. All the players, you know, teaming up and kind of spreading that talent throughout the league. It's going to be a fun season. I like our roster. I like, you know, every player that we have, 1 through 14. So I'm excited about it, and, you know, I'll put our roster up against anybody. I feel like that, you know, in a 7-game series that we'll come out victorious.
And that was the Brow, Anthony Davis, and this is where we'll start this hour of the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio, SiriusXM app, SiriusXM channel 206 as well, radio.com app, so many apps out there, CBS Sports app. FM AM affiliates are up at CBSSportsRadio.com, so you can find out who carries the show, who carries CBS Sports Radio there. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. My personal Twitter is at The Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Coming to you this morning from, or this morning out west, this afternoon where I am in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan, a local affiliate here on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm really excited to talk about what is shaping up as a historic final at Wimbledon between Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer. More on that later. An update coming your way at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific. Anthony Davis's press conference, better late than never, I guess, was last night in L.A., and you heard Anthony Davis say there that he thinks the Lakers are the team to beat. So that's not really going out on a limb in this respect. You wouldn't show up to that event at the Staples Center and think you're going to hear him say that the team that is down the hall, the Clippers, are the team to beat. But for our purposes, for the purpose of a discussion between you and me, I want to get into that a little bit more. Where are the Lakers in the pecking order, and where are they in the hierarchy of things now that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are reunited in Houston? And the first thing I want to say about the Lakers, and the first thing I want to say specifically about Anthony Davis, is I wonder sometimes if we, and I am guilty of this, so I am including myself in this statement, I think we have overrated Anthony Davis. I think we've overrated him and probably anointed him and ranked him too high among his peers, among other NBA players. One of the things that gets brought up all the time in these debates about who's good and who's great is, for whatever reason, especially in basketball, where one player can have a much larger say in who wins and who loses, where we do equate team success with individual success more than, say, we would in football. Like, if a guy is the best left tackle of all time, like Anthony Munoz, but he wins no Super Bowls, does that count against him? Is that something that reduces or detracts from his career? No, not really. But in the NBA, like, you get laughed out of the room if you say, I think there's a case that Karl Malone is the greatest basketball player of all time. Well, you can't make that point because the guy has no rings. And so if we're going to use that same logic, and if we're going to have similar sounding arguments about today's NBA and where guys rank, I have a hard time. The more I think about it, I have to be fair and I have to be consistent. I've got a hard time right now making it sound like I've said, kind of in a blanket sort of way, well, Anthony Davis is one of the five best players in the NBA. Well, what has he really done to earn that label or to earn that title? Anthony Davis has been in the NBA for 7 years. Decent sample size. He's made the playoffs twice. He has one playoff series victory. That's it. Now, I'm not asking him to carry a team all the way through to the playoffs and then to the finals. I think that kind of standard is, in today's NBA where you have super teams, where there were four all-time greats in Golden State at one time, I think it's unfair to put that kind of expectation on one player. But in an NBA where teams that go 44 and 38 almost always make the playoffs, it's not asking too much, or I don't think it was demanding too much to ask Anthony Davis to get to the playoffs more than two times in 7 years. Kevin Garnett, who for a long time was tucked up away in Minnesota by himself and occasionally would have a nice guy to run with, whether it was Stephon Marbury or maybe Tom Gugliotto when he first came into the league, and eventually, like, he teamed up with Latrell Sprewell for a stint there, and Sam Cassell came over, and but for the most part, never really had a second superstar with him in Minnesota. It was his team. First seven seasons for Garnett, he made the playoffs six times. Now, they didn't go deep because he was essentially a one-man gang, a one-man band. And the same thing is true of Anthony Davis. All I'm saying is, just like LeBron in Cleveland at the start of his career, he would get average teams to the playoffs. And then from there, they'd be overmatched by the Celtics, by the Pistons, by the Spurs. Anthony Davis did that twice in 7 years. And then on top of it, I see 56 games last year. That's it. 61 in 2016. So here's my point. I think it's very easy because of Anthony Davis's unique look and the unique way he plays the game, and his stats are great. He puts up awesome numbers. But it's never manifest into team success. Even Chris Bosh had more team success in Toronto than Anthony Davis has had in New Orleans. So I'm buyer beware big time on the Lakers. Buyer beware big time. LeBron James is 35 years old. I guess if anyone at 35 can find the fountain of youth and revert back to what he was 2 years ago when he played 82 games and carried the Cavs to the finals before he broke his hand because of J.R. Smith's stupidity, I guess if anybody can do it, it's LeBron. But when I look at dynamic duos or 1-2 punches in the NBA, in Houston, I have the MVP from 2018 and the MVP of 2017. With the Clippers, I have the player who carried a team to a championship this year in Kawhi Leonard, finals MVP, and I have a player who finished third in the MVP voting, the regular season MVP voting. And oh, by the way, both guys are in the primes of their careers. They're not 34. They're not 35. They're younger. So right now I would tell you that the Lakers at best are the third best team in the NBA. In the NBA's Western Conference, that is. And I've said it before on this show, and I'll say it again. I know they're not in a glitzy, glamorous place. And I know the last time they were really, really good, 20 years ago, they had two guys who were on the Dream Team and who were like first ballot Hall of Famers. So even though they were in Salt Lake City, they got a ton of buzz and publicity because they had Stockton and Malone. The Jazz, from top to bottom, 1 through 8, have the best team in the NBA. And we'll see how far Donovan Mitchell progresses and how much better he gets from year 2 to year 3. I know Gobert is the best defensive player in the league, right there with Kawhi Leonard, and I know that Mike Conley is a huge upgrade over Ricky Rubio, and even if you're not the biggest Conley fan, you would have to concede that point. So I think they're a very much a live wire. They're not getting all of the Vegas hype and love. They're not number one with odds makers because I don't think people fly to Vegas with a bunch of money burning a hole in their pocket to bet the Jazz to win the NBA championship. But if that roster was somewhere else, if that roster was in New York or Chicago, that roster was in one of those markets, they'd be getting a ton of buzz. Because Donovan Mitchell would be like a household name. He'd be the next star in this league. After Giannis, he would be the next great young star. And they'd be on everybody's radar screen, but they're not. So I don't know. The more I think about it, Anthony Davis seems overrated to me. Which, look, don't get your panties in a bunch. I'm not saying that he's not a top 20 player in the NBA. Two playoffs in 7 years, and health is a concern with him. And we'll see what LeBron's got left in the tank at 35. So I'm not betting on the Lakers. That's what Anthony Davis says. He'd take them in any seven-game series. You'd expect him to say that at a Lakers introductory press conference. But I would even have them behind Houston right now. And I would challenge you to tell me why I'm wrong about that. Yes, Westbrook has taken a step back. But Harden, you know, want to go by numbers, 53 wins last year. Chris Paul missed a big chunk of the year, and his numbers were only second to Giannis. They finished 4 games behind the Warriors for the best record in the West. You know the Warriors are going to take a step back, and you subtract Chris Paul and add a much better player, Russell Westbrook, to the team. How do the Rockets not win 60 games? Somebody would have to get hurt, or Westbrook and Harden would literally have to, like, injure each other in like a fist fight. One of them would have to quit the team in order for them to take a big step back this year. I mean, are the Lakers going to improve their win total by 25 games because of one guy? I don't think so. I don't see it. So I want to get your thoughts here. Anthony Davis says the Lakers are the team to beat. Is he right? Where are they in the Western Conference pecking order? And do you agree with me that he's a little overrated? I mean, the guy hasn't won anything, and I think we just say kind of nonchalantly, casually, that Anthony Davis and LeBron, that's the best 1-2 punch in the league. Well, one guy's 35, and what has Anthony Davis done when it counts? What has he done when it counts? I guess he was on a gold medal winning team, but he barely played. And he won in college, but so did Carmelo. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Again, if you want to join the show, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Pony Express. I'm Andrew Filippone. We are watching something incredibly memorable at Wimbledon right now. I've got it on in studio, and you're going to want to stay tuned for an update on that in 15 minutes. Got to get your thoughts on what Anthony Davis is selling and whether you buy it at 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone with you every Sunday, 10 to 2 Eastern, 7 to 11 Pacific. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
In our way of getting this really going here with a two-way sports talk debate is 855-212-4227. That number is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming down to the wire at Wimbledon, the men's final between, or gentlemen's final as they call it, Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic. John Fass will be by in about 10 minutes to clue you in on one of the best tennis matches we've seen in years, in a long time. We're talking about the Lakers. Anthony Davis said, we're the team to beat. I'd put us up against anybody in a seven-game series, and I want to know if you agree with that or not. With Houston's move, with what the Clippers have done, with the complete team I think the Jazz have put together, I've got the Lakers right now fourth in the Western Conference. And I've got probably more questions about Anthony Davis than you. So getting your feedback here at 855-212-4227. Here is Lorenzo in Wisconsin. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Lorenzo.
How you doing, bud?
Hey.
All right, so I want to start off with Anthony Davis. I 100% don't think he's overrated at all. We're talking about a gentleman for his first time in 7 years not playing 70 games a year. We're also talking about a gentleman that had to leave.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Not playing 70 games? Like they're going to load management him like Kawhi Leonard? Is that what you're talking about?
No, not load management, but now he can still play the way he did in New Orleans, but he doesn't have to worry about finding someone else to help him. LeBron James is old, but we don't need LeBron James to do what he needs.
Well, people said the same thing about Kevin Love going from Minnesota to Cleveland.
Exactly.
Okay.
Kevin Love, but look how we use Kevin Love. We use LeBron in certain situations where he played the point, and then what did Kevin Love have to do? He just stood behind the three. That's all he had to do. Play a little bit of defense and then do your job. We're not asking LeBron to do what he's usually known to do, is take over games. We're asking LeBron.
So you think LeBron at 35 years old is ready to take a backseat to somebody and just be, what, more of a distributor and facilitator, and he's not going to be his team's best player, or he's not going to try to be the guy?
No, yeah, exactly. I agree with that, because he doesn't need to be.
When has that happened? When has that worked in his career?
It worked when he played point, and he had to go ahead and play when Kyrie got injured. He has to go ahead and not always be that person to score the ball all the time. He has to be the lead facilitator to make other people look good around him. Now he has another superstar with him. We're asking Anthony Davis to go ahead and put up rebounds and points. We're not asking him to put up assists. We're asking LeBron to go ahead and get those points that we know he will get, but we need the assist for him. The way he reads defense, the way he finds people open. We're talking about, look at the players they picked up. We got Quinn Cook. You know, we have Danny Green. We have people that can shoot. We're not, I mean, all of them are not scared to pass the ball.
Well, you just see, you only named two guys. I mean, Green can shoot it. Cook, we'll see about that. I mean,
Caldwell Pope, you know.
Who?
Kuzma. Caldwell Pope, he can shoot. We know that.
Yeah.
He gets on and off. And then we also sit there and we have Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma is he's more inside. His numbers did lack last year, but it's his third year. The man's growing, but he's growing around LeBron. It's his second year of LeBron, so he's learning how to play in the chemistry of how LeBron plays. DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis already played together. Kawhi Leonard and them.
Yeah, that was a different DeMarcus Cousins, though. The guy you're talking about from 3 or 4 years ago isn't the DeMarcus Cousins that we see now in the NBA. I don't know if he's ever going to be the same again. Did he rush back? Yes. Is that admirable? Yes. Because he was chasing the championship, he took less to go to Golden State. Not that the market was a gigantic one for him. Now, not taking a lot of money on a one-year kind of trial thing to reunite with one of his good friends. If you're relying on DeMarcus Cousins to give you a big boost or a big lift in L.A., I think they've got problems, maybe more problems than I imagined. Hey, if you think that LeBron is just ready to play Robin to Anthony Davis's Batman the same way, and I know it's different positions, but the same way Shaquille O'Neal did to Dwayne Wade in Miami, where he's like, young fella, just do your thing. Like, you're now our number, you're our go-to guy. The offense is going to be more about you than it is about me. I've got to see it to believe it with LeBron. I know he's never been a selfish player per se. He's always been a guy that makes the right basketball play, but somebody that just always, you know, takes a back seat and allows for Anthony Davis to take over the game. I don't see that. I don't see LeBron, you know, as like a glorified Ron Harper for the Lakers or Derek Fisher. I think there's still ego there. I think LeBron James wants to be the reason why they win. I mean, clearly a Lakers fan is going to try to make the case that they've got a great roster. And when the first name that comes out of your mouth is Quinn Cook, who was what, the eighth guy in Golden State? I don't know if that's really making the best argument. Here is Ernest in Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Ernest.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, well, before I get to what I want to say, well, the Shaq and D-Wade situation was a little different. Shaq came to D-Wade's team, so it was expected for him to take of a backseat to D-Wade. And as far as the Rockets, so you're going to put your faith in Harden, who has flopped 3 years in a row in the playoffs when it mattered? And what has Westbrook ever done besides pad his stat?
Well, I mean, didn't those guys go to the finals together the last time they played together?
Well, how many years ago was that?
Well, I've seen them go to the
finals. And what did Harden do in that series? What did Harden do in that series? He wasn't the same guy when they went to the finals.
Okay, so now we're going to criticize the guy for how he played in the NBA finals?
No, I'm saying Harden, he wasn't the same guy that he is now when they made it to the finals.
So you're saying what exactly? That the two players in the NBA who are the best at getting to the basket are going to just epically fail? They're just going to be a terrible combination?
Yeah, look at their history.
Let me ask you a question. Who's a better player, Westbrook or Chris Paul?
Well, Westbrook.
Okay, so if they won 53 games last year with Paul, you don't think they'll win more with Westbrook?
Well, I'm a basketball junkie.
I asked you a question. Do you think they're better off with Westbrook or Paul?
Well, let me ask it. I'm with them. I'm in a wait and see type of attitude because they're both very ball dominant. And I don't know which one of those guys is going to raise
their hand. So why wouldn't you be in a wait-and-see mode with the Lakers or the Clippers? You don't know, did LeBron hit a wall last year where finally his body started to break down? After all those years of playing 80 games and having to carry teams, did it finally catch up to him last year? How is Anthony Davis going to respond? He was in a cocoon in New Orleans. Now he's got huge pressure and huge expectations in L.A. We don't know. I mean, if you're going to use wait and see for one team, why wouldn't that apply to the other teams that were built overnight? If you're wait and see on Houston, then you should be wait and see on the Lakers. You should even be wait and see on the Clippers. Because you don't know how Kawhi, maybe he's content now that he won a championship and he's back home. And he's going to take his foot off the gas a little bit. Maybe having two wings like George and Kawhi play together isn't a good basketball fit. I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that. All I'm saying is if you are going to say that you're ambivalent or that you can't come up with an opinion on one new team, I don't know how you would be able to come up with a strong opinion on the other ones that have been built in the last month. Anthony Davis says the Lakers are the favorites to win. He said, I'll take us against anybody in a 7-game series. Do you agree with him? I think the Lakers are a little overrated. I think Anthony Davis is overrated, as it turns out. And I would have them fourth right now in the West behind Utah, Houston, and the Clippers. Want to get your thoughts at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
One of the things I try to do with this show is be as honest and upfront with you as possible. And if there are times I can take you behind the curtain of not only sports, but what we do as sports radio hosts working in this business, this industry, people we get to know, honest opinions of athletes, coaches, etc. I try to do that the best I can on this show. And one of the things that has happened here today with me is I found myself more distracted than I expected to be. That one of the things that I think can hurt or affect a show is when you've got a bunch of things going on at once. Maybe your personal life is getting in the way and you're arguing with your wife or you're having a disagreement with a coworker or your boss off the air, and you're getting pulled in a bunch of different directions. Life gets in the way, something with your kids, something with your mom, you know, and it absolutely can bleed through the speakers, and you don't have to be a highly trained like media critic to to be able to tell or understand that a show is just not where it needs to be. And so the entire time I have been doing this show, this has been hard. I've been trying to talk to you for the last 3.5 hours while watching this men's final at Wimbledon. When you get this time slot on the weekend, very rarely does it feel like a sporting event or something professional, something professionally, something that you are watching that you could eventually talk about. Very rarely does it happen while you're on the air, where you have a fluid situation where you're watching something unfold and at the same time you're watching it, you're thinking about how you're going to talk about it. And that's what's happened with this men's final at Wimbledon. Like, Djokovic and Federer is a big enough event where if this had gone straight sets, it would still be in the middle of summer, it would still be a story. But after the first set went 7-6, and Federer came right back and blistered and blew out Djokovic in the second set 6-1 and basically said, game on, let's go. This has been awesome tennis. And I'm not Andre Agassi. I'm not Pete Sampras. I'm not John McEnroe. I'm not somebody that has immense knowledge of the sport. But if you are a sports fan, even if tennis doesn't come naturally to you, it is easy. And I don't even have the sound on in here. It has been really easy to get sucked into this because it's been such high-level tennis. I can count on one hand the amount of tennis matches in my life I have really felt like I became actively involved in either rooting for one of the people in the match or I was just transfixed by how good the product was. That's happened a few times when the Williams sisters have played against each other just because of the oddity of that situation where you've got family going head-to-head for championships, major championships. 2008, I remember I was on a couch watching with a friend from college. I had just graduated, and I was getting ready to move and take my first job. And I started on, I think, Monday. And that Sunday, I watched Nadal win Wimbledon for the first time on grass against Federer, his rival. And I remember thinking, I might live another 50 years and never see a tennis match better than this one. Well, the one that's going on right now is giving it a run for its money. Because this fifth set here is at 11-10, and I don't think Nadal, Federer, and 08 got to this point in the match. That was a marathon that I would guess went close to 5 hours, and this started shortly after 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. I've been on the network, I think, now for almost 5 years. In this time slot now for going on 2+ years and doing fill-in work before that. There are a few times where I have felt like the action on the TV in front of me made it hard to do this job talking the entire time. The first time that happened was when I was on the air the first year of the college football playoff, a second year of the college football playoff. It was on New Year's Eve. And that was a death march. I'm watching Oklahoma Clemson, but I can't just do play-by-play of the game. You know? So you're like, probably everybody in America who's a sports fan cares about this football game, and we don't have it. So I'm just kind of twisting in the wind, talking about week 17 of the NFL season, which is fine, but if you're a football fan, it's tournament time, it's playoff time. And then I was on here back in March, or April, was it April? April, when Tiger won the Masters, and they moved up the start time. And so that's a classic that's unfolding. That's going to go down as one of the most memorable Masters of all time, and I have a sense this Wimbledon is going to do the same thing or be the same thing. I don't pretend to know 100 years of tennis history. But we're talking about two all-time greats. And the thing I can't tell you about tennis right now, somebody else would have a much better handle on this than me. But as just a casual observer of sports, or of tennis, I should say, what I don't know is, are these three guys, Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic, just so much better than everybody else? Or is like the next tier of male tennis player so bad that even as these guys have gotten into their 30s, no one can touch them? You know, you think by now these guys would still probably be playing competitive tennis, but I didn't think 11 years ago that Roger Federer at 38 years old would be playing for what, his 19th major championship? So these three guys are all-time greats. How much does it have to do with the competition beneath them? I don't know. I can't answer that. So they're at 11-11 right now. If it gets to 12, it's like sudden death, right, Tom? Is that the situation that we're getting closer to?
It will be a tiebreaker at 12-12, yeah. Unfortunately. Didn't used to be that way, but it will be.
Okay, so tell me if this analogy works, right? If it's a tiebreaker at 12-12, would that be like Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final going to a shootout?
Not necessarily, because
how about starting? How about starting extra innings of a baseball game with a guy at second base? Would it be that bad?
I don't think so either. Just again, because the tiebreak's part of the normal fabric of the rest of the match. It just traditionally in Wimbledon, you play it out till it's done. But
why wouldn't they do that now?
Because they changed it. I guess after the Isner marathon match, I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, an American was involved in just a
yeah. That wasn't a final though.
No, it wasn't a
right?
final. But I think for like TV reasons, I would assume. Maybe I'll look up and see if they actually stated a reason why they did this.
Do you think this is better than Nadal, Federer, and 08?
Ooh, it's a great question. I think that's the best tennis match I've ever seen. No, this is not better than that.
The ending might be I don't know. I think the magnitude of this match and the way it gets remembered like decades from now depends on who wins. I think if Federer wins, this match is going to age even better because of where he's at in his career. Not that Djokovic is a spring chicken, but I think it would help this match's historical significance if Federer finds a way to get it done.
I definitely agree with that. This is a brand new rule for this year. I didn't realize the 12-12 fifth set tiebreak. And
wow.
The article I'm reading does cite the 70-68 Isner final set.
That is
Nicholas
insane.
Mahut. That was 2010.
How many hours was that?
It was forever. They had to stop and come back the next day.
They come back.
It was like something like 11 hours, something like that.
I guess I'm old school that way. I liked when the U.S. Open for golf, where they came back and they had a 18-hole playoff the next day.
Yeah, I think that's great too.
Which again, you're now beholden to TV, and to have a championship on a day where everybody's back at work and it's during the day and people can't watch, that's not obviously a good thing. But from a competitive standpoint, I know if I'm one of these guys in this match right now, I think I'd want to play it out. For maybe as exhausted as I might be, I wouldn't want a new rule to change what is like the entire history of this tournament. The Wimbledon is, at least from my vantage point, Wimbledon is like tennis's version of the Masters, right?
Yeah,
where it's the most, it's not, a, it, I guess it probably is like technically a national championship for like the UK or Great Britain, but it just feels like it's the most prestigious of the four majors. Would you agree with that?
It certainly is, and it's also like the rarest for fans and players of tennis, because most people play like on hard court or clay or some kind
right.
of like fake clay, but grass is really a specialty and a rarity, especially today. It always has been, but especially today. There just are no public grass courts or even private grass courts anymore.
Gotcha. Well, they're coming down to the wire here, so stay tuned for the next update at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, Wimbledon. Federer Djokovic. This thing started before we even went on the air, and they're still playing it out. for a championship. Are the Lakers going to play for a championship this year? With Westbrook now in Houston, with the moves the Clippers made, where do you have the Lakers? I think they're overrated, and we're getting your thoughts on that. Here is Chris in Charlotte. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Fittipone. How are you doing,
hey, man,
sir?
I'm pretty good.
Hey, look, I agree with you. As far as the Los Angeles Lakers go, I've got to see what they're going to do first. And I hate to be ask you a dumb question, but is Tyronn Lue the new coach, or who is this new coach they have?
No, Vogel. They got to an impasse with Lou. He wanted more money. The Lakers lowballed him. And so Frank Vogel, who used to coach the Pacers and the Magic, is the head coach, and Jason Kidd is like the lead assistant, which is going to set up an awkward situation there, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. But look, these superstar teams, I guess what I ask you is, now that Westbrook is going to the Houston Rockets with Harden.
Right, right.
And that fast offense. Where do you think possibly that Chris Paul would land? I mean,
I've seen Miami. Like, that would be the consolation prize for not getting Westbrook. You put Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler together, what are you really doing down there? You're giving the Miami fans some brand name players, some household names, but that's all you're doing. You're trying to make the product somewhat entertaining, but Pat Riley wouldn't be able to sell his fans or anybody inside or outside the organization that they had the makings of a championship team. That wouldn't work. You bring Chris Paul to Miami, you pair him with Jimmy Butler. If they keep Justice Winslow, not that I think he's anything great. I don't believe he has next level or star potential. In the East, maybe you're like a 43-39 team that goes out in the first round. It seems complicated for Paul to get out of that contract in a way that would allow him to get to, say, the Lakers. And even if he did that, I would look at it like LeBron just wanting to play with his friend more than setting up a team that's being built or constructed to win. I think LeBron was smart enough to keep Carmelo Anthony at a distance, and I would do the same thing with Chris Paul. All right. Thanks to everybody who tuned in today. We'll be back in this same spot next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony P-O-N-I. Follow us at CBS Sports Radio. On many of these same stations, Joni McDonald is next. He's really good. Check it out. Andrew Filippone, so long.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.